As most of you know by now, during Lent I've been preaching on the Ten Commandments, and we finished the Ninth and Tenth Commandments this past Sunday. Tonight, I'm preaching on the close of the commandments, or in other words, I will simply sum up their meaning for our lives today. Now, did you realize that our culture is actually divided when it comes to attitudes about the Ten Commandments? On the one hand, there are some people today who hate the Ten Commandments. They see them as an outdated morality that we've inherited from an ancient people who were spiritually immature compared to us. But on the other hand, many others today have great respect for the Ten Commandments and view them as the answer for our society's problems. Now, to be honest, this world would be a much better place if all people based their behavior on the Ten Commandments. In fact, if we only kept commandments 4 through 10, which deal with our relationship with people, if we only kept those, our world would be blessed. For example, if parents taught their children right from wrong and children willingly and joyfully obeyed their parents, if no one murdered anyone but we all helped each other instead, if husbands and wives remained faithful to their marriage vows and single people remained celibate until marriage, if no one stole anything and people willingly shared with those in need, if no person ever lied or gossiped, but people spoke good things about one another, if we never had a wicked thought in our hearts, but had only good motives all the time, if this were the case, what a wonderful world this would be. But the fact is, many people choose to disobey God's law, and that's why we have so many problems today. You see, when people do obey God's law, things do tend to go well, and our communities are much better places. So I must say that one benefit of society following the Ten Commandments is that life does go more smoothly, and there are fewer problems. Therefore, it's not surprising that many people are promoting the Ten Commandments in our culture. But there's only one problem with that. You see, we can so easily make the mistake of thinking that our outward obedience to the Ten Commandments makes us into good people who are worthy of God's blessings. You see, we modern Christians tend to forget the circumstances during which God's people first received the Ten Commandments. I want you to listen again to that first part of our reading from Exodus 20. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain and smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." Now, why did they respond in this way? Well, if you read earlier in Exodus 20, God clearly states that he will punish any person who hates him and does not keep his commandments. In fact, listen to this part of Exodus 20, which explains the meaning of the first commandment. God says, "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." No wonder the people were terrified. You see, we sinners do not love God, nor do we keep his commandments. Those people knew that they were guilty and that they deserved God's punishment. In fact, Jesus was trying to impress the same point on the people in his day. In our gospel reading, we see that Jesus stresses that the entire Old Testament is summed up by the fact that we ought to love God with our entire being and that we ought to love others as much as we love ourselves. The question is, do you do this? You know, there are only two answers to that question. The one obvious answer is no. In fact, that's how the people felt when they first heard God's word through Moses. They didn't want to be anywhere near God because they knew they didn't love Him with their entire being, and they knew they didn't love others perfectly as God's commandments require. They feared God's punishment. In fact, there are many people today who avoid God for the same reason. However, the other answer to the question is, well, yes, I do love God, and I do love other people, except for the scoundrels who are unworthy of my love. Oh, sure, I've made some mistakes, but all in all, my obedience outweighs my sin. I'm a good person, basically. No wonder God loves me. That's how the Pharisees thought of themselves. But before we're too quick to judge the Pharisees, we need to realize that we are guilty of the same foolishness when we think that God loves us because we supposedly love Him and are good to others. In fact, even God's Old Testament people eventually fell into this trap. If you skip ahead to Exodus chapter 24, we read this. Then Moses took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." But if you read on a little bit more and go to Exodus chapter 32, you find out that they broke their promise. They turned their backs on God and worshipped a golden calf. So much for their love of God. But someone might say, wait a minute, Pastor. The Pharisees didn't worship any golden calves. In fact, the Pharisees did their best to keep God's commandments. So why should Jesus condemn them? Well, you see, my friends, the Pharisees also had their own golden calf. Their golden calf was their own self-righteous pride. They actually thought that they did love God and others. In fact, they viewed their obedience as the basis of God's love for them. They assumed that they were worthy of God's love because they supposedly loved God and obeyed His commandments. But isn't that what God said? I mean, in our Old Testament reading, didn't He say that He would punish those who hate Him and that He would love those who love and obey Him? Yes, He said that. In fact, that's how things must work if God rewards us based on our obedience or lack thereof. But you see, if that's the case, then the only proper response from us has to be one of fear and despair. Why? Because none of us, not a one of us, keeps God's commandments. We don't love God. We don't love others as we love ourselves. In fact, even if we appear to love God and obey Him based on our outward behavior, our thoughts and our desires reveal our true intentions. That's why the Bible says that greed is equal to idolatry, lust is equal to adultery, and anger is equal to murder. God knows our hearts. God knows that we don't love Him with our entire being, nor do we love others as we love ourselves. And so, my friends, if God gave us what we deserve, we would all be punished eternally, and I would be the first in line. In fact, that is why God gave the Ten Commandments. He uses them to show us that if our salvation is based on our obedience, then we have no hope. He gives us the Ten Commandments to show us that our salvation must come as a free gift of God's mercy. In fact, the Lord makes that very point at the very beginning of Exodus 20 before he even gives the Ten Commandments. Listen to what God says. He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Did you hear that? God is saying that he loved his people and he saved them before he ever gave them any commandments. So, if God loved them before he ever gave them any commandments, if God's love for them is not based on their love for him, then why did he give them the Ten Commandments? Two reasons. First, the Ten Commandments are God's way of keeping order in this sinful world. God knows that we are sinners, and that if we have our way, this world would be a horrible, horrible place to live. And so God gave his commandments to keep sin in check and to show us how we ought to live. Now, obviously, many people don't obey that anyway, and that's why we have so many problems in the world. But my point is, imagine how terribly horrible life would be if we didn't have God's law at all. However, there's another, even more important reason that God gave us his Ten Commandments. God wanted to drive home the point that our desires and behavior can never be the basis of God's love for us. God wanted to humble us. You see, God knows that he can't save us as long as we trust in our own obedience. Therefore, God gave us his law with its harsh conditions and frightening threats so that we would fall on our knees and cry out for mercy. You see, if God gives us what we deserve, then we must be punished eternally. Our only hope is that God will give us what we don't deserve. And that's just what God does. Remember what Moses said to the people who were terrified of God after they heard the Ten Commandments? Moses said, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." Did you hear that? God humbled them to keep them from sinning. You see, we truly sin against God when we trust in our own obedience instead of clinging to his undeserved mercy. For example, I want you to listen carefully to these words of Jesus from John chapter 16. In this part of the Bible, he speaks about the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "The Spirit will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin because men do not believe in me." In other words, the ultimate sin is denying your sin and not trusting in Jesus alone. We hear the same thing from Jesus in John chapter 3. Listen to what he says there. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Do you get the point? The primary reason God gave the Ten Commandments was to humble us so that we would trust in God's undeserved mercy through Jesus. That is why Moses warned the people to avoid false gods, because any false gods that we make up are based on a work-righteous understanding of salvation. Instead, Moses tells them to offer sacrifices on an altar where God will place his name. In fact, these sacrifices, the shedding of blood, was a picture pointing ahead to Jesus and his death on the cross for us sinners. You see, what we have to understand is that God did punish those who hate him. How did he do that? God put your sin and my sin, the sin of all people, God put our sin of hating Him on Jesus. And He damned Jesus in our place. But what about when God said that we need to love Him and obey His commandments? Well, Jesus was the only person who ever did love God perfectly. Jesus was the only person who did love others as He loved Himself. Correction. Jesus loved others more than He loved Himself. Jesus kept God's law perfectly for you, and He has given you His own perfect obedience. So when God looks at you believers, He doesn't see your sin. He doesn't see your lack of love for God. He doesn't see your failure to keep His commandments. When God looks at you believers, He sees Jesus. He sees you as people who do love Him and do keep His commandments. But there's one thing we need to understand. This salvation, this wondrous salvation, is ours only if we confess our sin and trust in Jesus alone. You see, if we deny our sin, or if we think that we can avoid God's punishment on our sin by bribing Him with a few of our good works, then we have no hope. Apart from Jesus, God must give us what we deserve, and that is eternal punishment. But my friends, when God humbles us and moves us to repent, when He moves us to trust in Jesus for salvation, we then receive what we don't deserve: complete forgiveness of sin and eternal life in God's love. I'd like to draw your attention to our second reading from 1 Corinthians. You know, the Apostle Paul basically says the same things to us that he did, that Moses did to God's people back in Exodus. The only difference is that Paul is writing to people who live after Jesus came into the world and completed His work. What does Paul say? He says to us that we should flee idol worship. And idol worship includes worshiping our own obedience. Instead, Paul points us to an altar where God has placed His name. At this altar, we hear the words of Jesus, and those words of Jesus give us what they promise. Jesus says, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Take, drink, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." You see, our God is a jealous God. He doesn't want to lose you. And that's why He sent Jesus to save us. That's why He also gave us the commandments. God gave us the Ten Commandments so that we would recognize our sin and flee to Jesus for mercy and eternal life in God's love. My friends, as Jesus' mercy and love fills our lives, our hearts will be transformed, and we will be moved to obey God's commandments out of love for Him and all that He's done for us. But whenever the reality of our sin hits home, when we realize that we do not love God perfectly and that we do not love others perfectly, that's when we can flee to God and know that He forgives us and loves us for Jesus' sake. So in closing, I would like to read for you the last two stanzas of our sermon hymn. Listen closely to these words of wisdom. "The law is good, but since the fall, its holiness condemns us all. It dooms us for our sins to die, and has no power to justify. To Jesus we for refuge flee, who from the curse of sin has set us free. And we humbly worship at His throne, saved by His grace through faith alone." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts.